From before ever I came to this parish, the sacrament of baptism has been administered at this font time and time and time, hundreds of times, in the relatively short period of 8 years that I've been here. And many times we celebrate this sacrament in the presence of the whole people. But the church today, knowing that as in virtually everything in our lives, we tend to get used to and move away from a fresh sense of meaning and understanding of the things we do, the church invites us today to go back to baptism, to really understand it. The church, in effect, today says, what is baptism? And without a doubt, each of the baptized present could give off quickly, spontaneously, an answer. And many would give essentially the same answers. It is a sacrament of initiation, a sacrament of being brought into something. Some would say it is a means, an effecting by God's power of absolution as a result of a spirit of penitence. Some of us would say it is, it signs, and at the same time it effects a conversion, a really turning around of people from what was to what now is and will be. And all these things would be true. And John, in today's gospel, says it so explicitly. He came and with water offered a sacrament of baptism for repentance. But if we look closely, we'll realize, well, that can't quite say it all, for in the same gospel story, Jesus, the pure one, the Lord, is baptized. Repent for what? Convert from what to what? But to understand that while it was necessary for all the people, sinners that they were and as we are, to repent, to convert from to, Jesus was included in giving a sign of entering into something yet greater still than had been even in his life. Entering, if you will, a new dimension through the use of this most fundamental element of the human experience, water. It has only enhanced the church's understanding of baptism. We have come to realize. When the scientists suggest that maybe we all came eons and eons ago from the water, that we are still, in a sense, aquatic creatures needing water that we may live and breathe and grow and become. The fish is the great symbol of Jesus, the very word in Greek containing his initials, if you will. Water without which we cannot survive for very long at all. And water with which we cleanse and purify our physical selves. This sign of life and purification is the sign by which we enter into whatever it is to be a Christian. But perhaps you, as I, have in trying to distinguish the sacraments in the past, focused on baptism as the initiation into the family, so that, in a manner of speaking, you could sort of save your explanation of confirmation for the signing to turn you outward to the world as witness to what you and we together are to proclaim to the world. But in today's liturgy, while we acknowledge gladly and gratefully to God this sacrament as initiation into the family of faith, we must already begin to see it, even baptism itself, as a commissioning outward now to share the spirit of this family. It struck me, if we say that the purpose of baptism is to make people feel included, to give them a sense of family. Even as church, that might be somewhat presumptuous and a bit hard to swallow for ordinary folks who love their children more than words could ever tell. When I was born, a Healy baby, I didn't need the church to tell me I was loved. I was already loved, cuddled at my mother's breast. And from that moment, I already knew I was included in a family in my own infantile way then. What the church does in baptism is not the same thing as a family does when it gives birth and embraces the child born. It's that and more. It is to be brought into a family that's much, much bigger than all the Healy's with the best of their intentions could ever possibly be. It is to be brought as a member of one branch of the family into a family that includes everyone. And even the Healy's, love them as I do, even my dear mother, whom I hold in such unspeakable reverence, could not alone have given me the vision the church gives of all the people of the world being members of my family and I being family with all the people of the world. When I was baptized, it was in fact under sort of interesting circumstances, which in another context I shared with some of you before. As it turned out, when the house burned down, and my mother had only 11 children at the time, I was within her, in her womb. And it was, of all things, on the Feast of St. Blaise, back in 34, that the house burned down and my mother was there with 11 kids and a baby in her womb. And the local priest, the parish priest, Father James Killian, came to the rescue and assumed he was a member of the family and stood up on one of those old blocks where they used to tie the horses for the carriages. And he would say, Jenny Davis, you'll take Sally. Mary Johnson, you take Clamp. And in minutes, he had handed out all the Healy children to the neighbors, never asking, do you accept them as family? Do you share responsibility here? It was presumed. And so when 7 or 8 months later I was born, it was with great affection that my parents invited Father James Killian to baptize me into the church. And from the time of my earliest memories, I took a fierce pride in having such a funny middle name, Killian. So much so that when it came time to be confirmed, I personally inquired to find out what was the middle name of Father Killian, who had died when I was 5. And so Henry became my confirmation name. I wanted so much to experience more fully what my parents had signed at my baptism. I was blessed to be baptized by a man who, before I was born, had told the parish and the world, everybody's family, and when someone's in trouble, you just come running. No questions asked, you just get it done, because we're all family. And I'm glad for that blessed aura, if you will, over my own baptism. And to this day, I couldn't think of writing my name with putting that K in the middle, to remind me, if no one else. Repentance, we say, is a dimension of baptism, and indeed it is. But if Jesus was baptized without needing to repent, then maybe the emphasis should not be so much on feeling rotten about what was, but feeling willing to become what we should be. Maybe in the past we have focused too much on how poor and pathetic we are, even at our best, and have not rejoiced enough in knowing that when you're in this family, there's nothing you can not do. All things are possible because our family spirit is the spirit who descended on Jesus on the day of his baptism. And as he was anointed to tell the good news to the world, so are we when we are sharers in his life. The very readings of this day say powerful things about baptism. And it was, I can assure you, with care that the church chose these readings. See how in that first reading from Isaiah the prophet, before ever there was a baptism of repentance or initiation into Christian community, even then Isaiah prophesied, "Here is my servant upon whom I have put my spirit, and already, he shall bring forth justice to all the nations." The one who was to come, who would be, so to speak, baptized first and invite us all into these cleansing waters, came not just for this family or that family, but for the whole family, and to bring justice to all the nations. Further on, tender Jesus, who is to come, prophesied by Isaiah beforehand, "A smoldering wick he shall not quench. A bruised reed he will not break. He'll treat all with tenderness, the weakest as well as the strongest, until he establishes justice on the earth." And the commission of Jesus, the promise given in Isaiah, fulfilled in him, now extended in us, is to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out prisoners from confinement and from the dungeon, those who live in darkness. Already, as the church reflects on the meaning of our baptism, we cannot wait to be confirmed. We are already called into this world vision, this breathtaking reach beyond the power of any of us, that together we might bring the whole world into harmony and unity in justice. In the Acts of the Apostles, the sacred writer says, "It is Jesus Christ who is Lord of all." Underline it in your mind. Underline it in your heart. Come not to be Lord for you or your family or my family or even just this family parish here, but to be Lord of all. God, the writer says, anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power, and then what? He went about doing good works and healing all who were in the grip of the devil. What more pathetic or frightening or off-putting state could any person be than to be in the grip of the devil? And it was to these especially that Jesus went. To them, Jesus came to embrace them with the Spirit of God's love and bring them into the family of God's people. John was unwilling, as I am here, to pretend for a moment that he was the answer, or that what he could do, the pouring of water, powerful pregnant sign though it is, could somehow or other achieve what God had planned. He said, "No, when I'm all through, you will still need to be baptized by, in, and through Jesus. He will baptize you in the Spirit and in fire. You will not simply enjoy knowing you're loved. It will not be enough for you to feel included, embraced by the family that has brought you forth." And most families do that rather well. But you must be part of a family that keeps extending further and further outward to grasp in your embrace all the children of God, all the races and all the tongues, all the gifted and all the poor, all the rich and all the disappointed, all the people must be included. And to live that out, you must have the Spirit. You gotta have the fire. So even as we bring a tender little baby, still sucking at its mother's breast, to this font, and unbeknownst to that little infant boy or girl, we pour the water on that child, we are, in fact, as community, preparing for something so much bigger than that child could possibly grasp or understand at this point. From the very first day, we are signing that that little baby baptized here must become member of a family that has the ends of the earth as the extent of his or her vision. In the very first sacrament of initiation, we're already taking this world view of things. You know, to share a kind of very personal thing with you, from time to time in our prayer of the faithful, a blessed piece of the renewal of the church after Vatican II, I wonder if at times some of you are sending me a message as well as God when you say things like, for the poor people of our parish. I wonder sometimes if you say, he's too much focused on the far beyond, the ends of the earth. You got to make things right at home. Well, if somehow or other I seem to have be making a great jump from here to there and missing the people in between, forgive me for the limitations of my pedagogy. But I tell you, I'm so convinced in my heart, that we are not given a furlough, a leave, a sabbatical to get things right at home before we accept this fire of faith that carries us almost against our will to the ends of the earth. I'm so convinced of that, I will not relent in proclaiming this message as I see it and hear it today. From the moment of baptism, even for the infant child, it is an initiation into a world vision. And any sensible person can surely understand people who neglect their own children are ill-suited to be helping the children of their neighbors, much less the children of a nation at a great distance. Surely we can presume together that a people who are working to develop tenderness for the foreigner, for the stranger, for the alien, are at the same time trying to be more tender and loving at home, in the parish, and in the neighborhood. But if I seem not to know that, forgive me. We are being called always to a vision larger, far larger than ourselves or any vision that boldest of us would ever have set were it not for Jesus, for his fiery spirit. It is my prayer that in this celebration today, that fire which was put in us even though unbeknownst to us in baptism will be fanned further, that the flame will rise higher, and that we, in our witness to who we are and what we mean to become, will bring new warmth and light to the whole world as well as our immediate community. Last week, we focused on what it was suggested, and Father Kelly and I gave a firm amen to this, what was suggested to be probably the biggest problem of this decade now unfolding: the attitudes of people towards immigrants and refugees, towards people of other races and cultures, of other ways of life, of other traditions. And there are sad and sorry and frightening signs aplenty in our social life right now, that we are, as a people, turning further and further inward. Not only not reaching out in love and familial spirit to the stranger, to the foreigner, to the alien, but in fact contemptuously trying to blame them for our faults and failings. In many cases, heaping the ultimate abuse on victims, trying to make them take the blame for the consequences of our insensitivity, our failure to be this world family we're called to be in Jesus. And this week, once again with our bulletin, we mean to extend the powerful meaning of the homily invite you to see that within that context of a people withdrawing, if they're not careful, further away from rather than reaching further outward to the stranger. In all of that, the worst sin of all is when we neglect innocent children. Voices are being raised by our bishops, by sociologists, yes, by government officials. Voices are being raised from many places, louder and louder voices to say something terribly tragic is happening to the world today. There's less and less evidence that we love children without qualification, without waiting to see their merits. More and more, we're letting babies be victims of the worst in us. We must be part of calling society to a rebaptism, if you will, a purification from these creeping social sins, to a new birth in a family spirit that says all are welcome and all are one. You have already, most of you, not by me, but by some other priest or deacon in your time, you have been baptized in water. It is my sacred commission to remind you this morning, but you were also baptized in the Spirit and in fire. If the fire has grown dim, if you have too carefully sheltered and protected the flame, then this is the day to let that fire burn brighter, to risk being misunderstood or even repudiated by those who cannot grasp a family spirit that embraces everyone. If you will, God will set you on fire anew today with a family spirit that is bigger than all people. For our spirit is the Holy Spirit, is our God. In that spirit, I'd like to suggest that we recapture the moment of our literal baptism, to renew our baptism together here and now. We pour this water here so many times, it's a routine thing. Occasionally it helps to sprinkle the people once again with the water, the symbol of their baptism. And today we'll carry the fire as well. We've lighted out of season the Paschal candle that we may symbolize both the purifying, the conversion, and the getting into Jesus and getting out of ourselves and bringing light to the world. First, I would ask you, as your godparents or you were asked at the time of your baptism, do you believe that God is mother and father of all that is? Do you believe that this God who is love, in love sent Jesus to be our brother? Do you believe that Jesus, fired by God's Spirit, calls us to be sisters and brothers with all God's people everywhere? Do you believe that as God's people, by faith, we are in communion with all believers throughout the world and even with the people of faith who have gone before us? Do you believe that as the church, it is our mission and commission to bring the good news of God's love to each and every person on the face of the earth? Well, this is our faith as God's people. I invite you now, in the measure that you have not lived that faith, for all the times you have trembled from its responsibilities and turned away, to repent. I invite you to join me on your knees, asking God's forgiveness for all the ways in which we lost the spirit of our baptism, and then with God's mercy and the sprinkling of God's holy water, we'll begin anew.